Let us prepare for our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Seated, and would the children please come forward. Good morning. Jordan, I am especially excited that you're here. All of you are here, but I'm especially excited because today, for the first time, I have a children's sermon for a child your level. Okay? You watching? All right, watch this. Peepa! Peepa! Does your mama not play that game with you? Cry, did your parents play that game with you? Yeah, you've played that game. Yeah. Have you played it with a child? You hadn't done it yet with a child? Yeah. Children, except for Jordan, typically love that game. And what is so interesting about that game is it doesn't matter how many times you do that. If I started playing Peepi with Jordan and she knew that game, an hour from now, if I was still playing Peepi, would she still like that game? Yes, she would. And most people think what they really enjoy about that game is the constant surprise. I'm gone, now I'm here. I'm gone, and now I'm here. Yeah. You still don't care, do you? The reason I'm telling you about all that today is, today, our lessons deal with the surprises that God does. In fact, it even starts, Jesus says, kingdom of God starts out really small. He compares it to a mustard seed, which is really small, but a great big bush grows from it. That's a surprise. And God's kingdom is a lot like that. So, what I'm saying about all that is, as we go through life, we can watch for God's constant surprises and the way God constantly does things that are new and different and surprising for us. And how wonderful that is. That's one of God's blessings for us. All right, let's have our prayer. Almighty God, thank you for surprising us. Thank you especially for surprising us with the abundance of your grace and love. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson is a reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke with them in parables. And actually, I have realized this is last week's gospel lesson. That's not right. And not what I'm preaching on either. So, we'll do this. Aha, okay. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The Gospel of the Lord. Now may be the time to tell the rest of the story. About 16 years ago, I preached a sermon on kudzu. Here's how it went. It started by saying, "Here's an article I found recently entitled, How to Grow Kudzu. Choosing a plot. Kudzu can be grown almost anywhere, so site selection is not the problem it is with some other finicky plants like strawberries. Although kudzu will grow quite well on cement, for best results, you should select an area at least having some dirt. To avoid possible lawsuits, it is advisable to plant well away from your neighbor's house, unless, of course, you don't get along well with your neighbor anyway. Preparing the soil. Go out and stomp on the soil for a while just to get its attention and prepare it for kudzu. Deciding when to plant. Kudzu should always be planted at night. If kudzu is planted during the daylight hours, angry neighbors might see you and begin throwing rocks at you. Selecting the proper fertilizer. The best fertilizer I have discovered for kudzu is 40-weight non-detergent motor oil. It cuts down on the friction and lessens the danger of fire when the kudzu really starts to move. Change the oil every 1,000 feet or every 2 weeks, whichever comes first. Mulching the plants. I have found that a heavy mulch for the young plants produces a hardier crop. For best results, as soon as the young shoots begin to appear, cover the kudzu with concrete blocks. Although this causes a temporary setback, your kudzu will accept this mulch as a challenge and will reward you with redoubled determination in the long run. Organic or chemical gardening. Kudzu is oblivious to both chemicals and pests. Therefore, you can grow organically and let the pests get out of the way of kudzu as best they can, or you can spray any commercial poison directly onto your crop. The decision depends on how much you enjoy killing bugs. The kudzu will not mind either way. Crop rotation. Many gardeners are understandably concerned that growing the same crop year after year will deplete the soil. If you desire to change from kudzu to some other plant next year, now is the time to begin preparations before the height of the growing season. List your house with a reputable real estate agent and begin making plans to move. Your chances of selling will be better now than they will be later in the year when it may be difficult for a prospective buyer to realize that underneath those lush green vines stands an adorable 3-bedroom house. Now, there's probably more truth there than most of us will care to admit. Perhaps the real facts are even more astounding. Kudzu now covers more than 7 million acres in the southeastern United States. The vines can grow as much as a foot a day, leading to its well-deserved nickname, the drop-it-and-run vine. Research at Auburn University found that most herbicides have little effect on the plant, and one even made it grow better. People make baskets from the vine, and recipes abound using kudzu, and I'll be glad to share the ones I found for baked kudzu leaves and kudzu fried chicken. I went online to search for kudzu, and 106,000 sites came up. Even James Dickey wrote a poem about kudzu, advising people to sleep with their windows closed. Now, I'm sure you've just learned a lot more about kudzu than you ever thought you'd know, and probably a lot more than you ever wanted to know. But there's more, as I learned from a 25-page research paper.
I found it as I was trying to learn the story of how kudzu came to the South. In 1876, the United States hosted an exhibition in Philadelphia. There, the Japanese pavilion featured a garden of some of their native plants, and people were fascinated by the fast-growing kudzu. People procured it to use as an ornamental plant in their gardens or to cover their porches for shade. Then in Florida, a man named Charles Pless found that grazing animals would eat kudzu and promoted it as cattle fodder. By the 1930s, soil erosion had become a problem in the South, and kudzu was the answer. The Civilian Conservation Corps employed hundreds to plant kudzu along the roadsides, and farmers were paid by the government to plant their fields in kudzu. And it worked. In fact, it worked so well that now we can't get rid of the stuff. Our roadsides have plenty of it, and other cattle feeds are cheaper and better now, and all the kudzu does is grow and grow and take over everything in its path. It's been called the vine that ate the South. Now here's the rest of the story. After church that day, 16 years ago, Nan said to me, "Did you really find recipes for kudzu?" And I said, "Yes," and we looked some up. We found one for a kudzu quiche. And then Nan said, "Philip's choir party is this afternoon." Now, Philip was our music director then, and his garden was so beautiful and weed-free, I might add, that it had been featured in Southern Living magazine several times. We couldn't think of a better thing to take to the party at his house than a quiche made with a pernicious weed. So that afternoon, Nan and I were out by some roadside picking kudzu leaves. And just for your information, if you had some, you wouldn't know the difference between it and a spinach quiche. So, now what's the point of all this? Now that I've spent a lot of sermon time telling you about kudzu, you may be wondering where in the world God comes in. Well, if Jesus were preaching to us and it came time to talk about the mustard seed, he might just as well have used kudzu instead. Because you see, what Jesus says is that this small little seed grows into a great bush and that there's nothing you can do to stop it. And what that means is that the kingdom of God started in small little Bethlehem was going to grow and grow and grow and nothing would be able to stop it. God was behind it. It will grow and grow like kudzu. In Ezekiel, it tells us what God's kingdom will be like. "Thus says the Lord God," he says, "I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches it will nest every creature of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord." Oh, people of God, nest in the shade of God's kingdom. Know that the Lord is our God. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended from the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Living God, you are the one who gives life. As you have called countless generations to follow you, so now call us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Walk with us and before us, that we might be your people of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Father of love, as we celebrate fathers today, remind us that you are our Father. Uphold us, strengthen us, care for us in your wisdom. Bless and lead the fathers among us to care for our families and to follow your example of love. Today and every day, give us zeal to be your children. Lord, in your mercy. God, our Father, we live in a complex time. And right now, we are caught up in a complex issue. There are viewpoints on all sides of what to do with immigration. What we know is that you are the Father of us all, and that we don't want to be separated from you. You have called us to be one family under your love. Give us as a people and as a nation more compassion and mercy. Bless us with the wisdom that comes from you and is shaped by you. Lead us to unite rather than to divide, and to live out the love we have received from you. Lord, in your mercy, you speak healing to all your people, loving Lord. Fill us with compassion for those in need. Reach out your hand to the sick, the hungry, the poor, and those who suffer. Bless all your children, O God, and all those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace. Well, it's wrong in the bulletin. I've got my microphone still on.
Let us pray. Merciful God,
you open wide your hand
and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by the signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.